Love Osho podcast brings you the real stories of the people whose lives have been inspired and transformed by Osho. We explore why thousands of people are falling in love with Osho and where to find them. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Hello and thanks for tuning in. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. This episode is part of the new edition of the Love Osho podcast dedicated to sannyasins who did not meet Osho in the body. Today our guest is Mahanand Mudita. Mudita took sannyas in 1995 and has 20 years experience as a medical doctor. Mudita is trained as a therapist and meditation facilitator and is also the author of the book Depression, A Stepping Stone Towards Bliss. Mudita, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you, Swaram. I'm very happy that you invited me. And I'm fine.
Okay, amazing. Well, it's all my pleasure. So to start, tell us a little bit about how you came to know about Osho.
Actually, I was already a long time in my life. I was searching how to reach who I really am, like my potential, but I felt many blocks. So I was always looking for books, psychological books, which could help me. And then I was in a second-hand bookstore and again looking at the psychological books, and I only read the backside, what the book was about. And then it impressed me so much what I read. And so immediately I took the book and went to the counter. And then I turned the book. It was an orange color. And it said it was from Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh. And I was really afraid because I knew all the stories from the Rolls Royces and those things. But I just so much loved what the backside, what was written there. Osho's words. So I bought it and then I underlined each sentence. And that was in 1988. So actually Osho was still in the body. But that moment I never asked myself, where does he live? Only I started living what I had read in the book. So I started to do my work every time, remembering myself, come back to the moment. As Osho said, come back 33,000 times a day to the moment. And then 6 years later, I was looking again in the bookstore about a book about intimacy, because I felt it was lacking in me, real intimacy. And I searched for 2 hours in the whole bookstore, but I couldn't find any book. And then I decided to go to the music part of the store to buy a CD about relaxation. And the first CD I saw was Intimacy from Osho. And that time I didn't know Osho was the same as Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh. So I was impressed that I found the CD. So I bought the CD and I listened. And it was that somebody asked the question, Osho, what is intimacy? And first, Osho took a long pause. He didn't speak. So I felt so impressed by this silence that Osho was not just giving a ready-made answer. And then the whole CD, I was so impressed by the silences between the sentences and the words. More than the words even. So it brought me very deep insight. And then a woman who came to my house, she saw then I went to the bookstore again to see if there were books from Osho. And I saw there were so many books. So I bought the Zen Manifesto, the last book of Osho before he left the body. And then somebody told me this is Bhagwan. So only then I found out that it was the same person. And in the Zen Manifesto was one chapter about the Christian ship has to sink. And this was very difficult for me because also I loved Jesus so much. not what the church says about him, but his more like his being. And in the 1 month later, I will tell about this chapter later on. First, I have to tell you that I went to Taizé. It's a small village in France, which is Christian ecumenical place where people from all over the Europe, basically, and some other continents as well, join together to sing and to share silence and to also to speak about life issues. And there I met a woman from Lithuania, and she said, "I know you." And I never have met anybody from Lithuania, so I thought it might have been in a past life or something. And then she said, "I know you, and in Lithuania we do gibberish." And that's from Osho, and the center of Osho is in Pune, in India. And then in my belly, something jumped up. It was a bowel which jumped up very strong, and I could not sleep the whole night almost. And the next morning I asked her, how can I come there? And she said to me, first go to Amsterdam and do some Osho meditations there. But when I returned, I went to Amsterdam immediately, and I didn't do any meditation there. I only asked, where is Pune? And how can I come there? And when they gave me the information, I went to the travel agency. And that time there was not a computer or nothing, but I just asked, where is Pune? And they looked in the big book, in the map, and they showed me the spot in India. And then I took a deep breath and I said, okay, book a plane ticket for me for after 3 months, because I had a fixed contract. I had to work three months more. And then I was almost falling from my chair, so much I was trembling. Yeah, and then I went to Pune finally, and I stayed. I wanted to stay 6 months, so I had quit my job. But finally I stayed for 1 year the first time. Yeah, but Osho was not in the body anymore. It was 95. But for me, Osho was so present. So sometimes I have thought, oh, I have not seen him in the body, and if I had gone 88, I could have seen him. But at the same time, I was so connected with Osho's energy that for me, he is alive also now and also then, always. So that is my story.
Wonderful. It's fascinating to hear that you had some, probably from the media, misinterpretation about Osho and the Rolls Royces and the bad name. And then you read directly the words of Osho, and you heard him speaking, knowing him as Osho rather than Rajneesh, and that changed everything, and you went deep into it, and then you decided to go to Pune. And 1995 was just 5 years after Osho left the body.
Yes.
And the energy in Pune must have been really, really very close to how it used to be when Osho was in the body. So I'm sure you had a full taste of the Buddha field there, which is amazing. And then perhaps... Yes. Tell us a little bit about the sannyas. So you went there, and how then you decided to really jump even more, take sannyas and go deeper into this Osho Buddha field.
Yeah, first I want to say that many people, especially people who have known Osho in the body, they feel that was the real taste when Osho was in the body. But I have been going to Pune until now, every year or two times or three times a year. And as it has evolved, for me, it has always remained as close to Osho as when it was in 95. And one friend of me who lives there already 30 years, he says nothing has changed by Osho leaving the body. It's the same. So for me, of course, I can only say that after Osho left the body, I came. But even when the environment in Pune has changed and so many new things have been built, I feel it is even getting more and more to the real core of meditation, that everything is so much more and more focused just on the meditation, and this is what I love. Yeah, but for my taking sannyas, it was when I was there, I did first group is 3-day group opening to intimacy, as this was my subject, which brought me to the CD of Osho. And then I had a Buddha to Buddha talk with Ma Darshan, and she was very close to Osho. And she suggested me the Mystic Rose, the Osho Mystic Rose. And then, so the first month I was there, I did already the Osho Mystic Rose. And during my Mystic Rose, I felt I really want to take this sannyas because I want to connect with Osho at the deepest level. And that's why I took a sannyas immediately after my Mystic Rose. And then I got the name Modita, and Modita means delight. Anand Modita means blissful delight. And I remember that I was laughing. Inside was so big laughing or smile, and that I wanted to, I was felt pity that my corners of my mouth could not go wider in that smile. So, yeah. Then I felt the limitation of my body to express my joy.
Oh, that's wonderful. And the meaning of your name is really beautiful.
Thank you, Saram.
So, Modita, what is it about Osho that makes you feel that is your path, that you want to be with Osho? That, because there are so many different paths available, different traditions, different masters, but when you came to Osho, you immediately felt like, okay, this is what I was looking for, and you're still with Osho today after so many years. So what is it about Osho for you?
Osho is someone or a presence who brings me to myself, to my core. Actually, he peels off everything from me, which is not me. So all artificial layers that have been built by my conditioning. And Osho is also so strong that many people, they think he is a kind of, he is a guru in the sense that he wants followers, but Osho doesn't want any followers. He wants, he keeps on saying, don't follow me, just follow yourself, or don't grasp my finger, but look where it's pointing. And then I made so many times the mistake to grab Osho's finger or to try to look in books what he is saying. But Osho just gave me back the command, even in different ways, that I was going wrong path when I followed him, that again I had to come back to myself. And even I have a very strong example. First time when I came in Pune, I went every day to the discourse. And Osho said one time in the beginning, the most important question you have to ask yourself is, who am I? Keep hammering this question, who am I? Who am I? Any moment you notice. So I did it for 3 months, any moment until I was almost dizzling with this question. And after 3 months, as usual, I sat in the white robe in the discourse of Osho. And then Osho said, the most stupid question you can ask yourself is, who am I? So I felt everybody was laughing, but I was like, everything was taken away from me. And then I knew that you can never take Osho literally or trying to grab something, because any moment it can change, or what he says is maybe for one person and for another person something else would be the right thing. And this is what I love about Osho, that he has no ego, that he is just concerned with the truth. And also when I was in the, when I came there that time, there was the morning discourse also. And I remember that I was sitting in the morning discourse and Osho, what Osho said was touching something so deep in me, what actually I already knew very deep inside. It touched something which I knew in the sense of that it was a truth, which it resonated so much with me. And in the beginning, I could not, I was crying all the time when I was listening, because of being so touched, like Osho penetrated right to my core. And I could not listen more than 10 minutes, because then I was so full that I could not absorb more. So in the beginning, I could, in morning discourse, only 10 minutes. And then later on, I could absorb more. Yeah.
Yes, I think I had the same experience. It happened to me as well. Sometimes with Osho, there is so much I can take in one go, and then I need to time to digest and absorb before I can go deeper and further. And also what you said before is very powerful, and it happened to many sannyasins I spoke to, and it happened to me. And that's the way Osho works, is he keeps taking away the ground under our feet.
Yes.
He really wants us to never get too comfortable in one space, and then just keep looking till we go to the very center of ourselves. So that's an endless journey with Osho.
Yes. Yes. Oh, nice that you also recognize this. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So, Mudita, let's move and talk a little bit about your present day life and what you do in your life, in your profession, in your work. You are a medical doctor by profession and also a therapist, as well as a meditation teacher. So what would be interesting for me to discuss with you is how what you have learned from Osho and your journey with Osho meditations influences your work and the way you relate to people in your profession.
I quit my medical job in 2012 to dedicate my life to the sharing Osho meditations and also family constellation and writing my books. How Osho changed it, I feel when I relate with people, because what Osho teaches me, I can always come back to my, whatever happens in relationships, come back to my core, to see when some disturbance happens, that to come back again and again to the awareness of these are just my thoughts, or it is just my body who is tense now when something strong happens. But I am aware of my being, which is behind. And this is also what I share with other people. Before I met Osho, I was very much sometimes giving in, like when some people else suggested something, I was going with that other person instead of staying with myself. And I love very much what Osho said, that if you are really yourself, you have real enemies and real friends if you stick out your neck. And this helps me a lot to move my own path in my profession and in my personal life, that if I want to remain everybody's friend, I cannot move. So if I live my truth, I have to take the risk also that people may not like what I do or what I say. Yeah. Also, in many ways, Osho has creates such a big perspective. And this perspective I also share with other people, like on Facebook, Joy in Meditation is one of my Facebook pages. I share every day something which inspires me, and many times it is also a text from Osho which relates with my life. one of the things I, which is also a very important thing for me in relating and also what I share with others, is that what can happen in relationships, that people, the most painful thing often for people and also for myself, is when the other person tells a so-called lie. And I remember that I was in one group which is created by Osho. It is called Woman Liberation. And it's one of the last processes Osho created. And it's a very strong group. And one person in the group asked the facilitator a question about her husband, who had been in a relationship with another person and had not told her about it. So he had been lying. And then the facilitator thought a long while if she would share it. And then she shared something what Osho once had said. And that is that Osho said, "No one owes you anything, not even the truth." And that is such a liberating sentence for me, because it means that you cannot expect anything from anybody. Everybody is free. And it also sets me free, that not that I want to tell daily lies, that's not, but it gives such a freedom, and it throws me so much back on myself. And this helps me also when I, in consultation, when I do consultation for other people, to connect them with this wide perspective. And then meditation is finally the only solution or the only way, because only then you can connect so strong with yourself that finally no therapy is needed anymore. Yeah. So I give consultations, but the main thing is that I, same time, I try to make myself not needed anymore. Because if I share meditation with the person and the person catch the vibe of the meditation, then this is enough. Yeah.
Okay, I think you made some very beautiful points. The first one, when you said that you found the courage to be yourself and to stick your neck out and to have either real friends or real enemies, it's a great lesson in life. Also, I like what you said just at the end regarding your approach to therapy, where you essentially, you teach people meditation and then they kind of, you empower them to be independent, because in meditation lies all the answers, if you like.
Yes. Yes, and I especially love that, all the answers, as you say, Soram, it's true. I feel, and especially I am such a lover of the both Mystic Rose, but for the, my daily life is the most important, the Osho Dynamic Meditation. So 5 years ago, I came out of my last depression. I had many depressions in my life. Then I came actually out by the final touch of Mira Hashimoto, who gives the Osho art therapy training. And she left the body 3 years ago, but 5 years ago I did again the painting training with her, and the Osho Dynamic Meditation was part of the training. So we did the 21 days, the dynamic. And on the third day, I went into the group full in depression, and on the third day I finished the dynamic and really my life was back. So I looked in the mirror and my eyes were shining again, and then I knew this is my tool. So I have to use this tool. It's not that the dynamic switch a button and then for the rest of my life I I can benefit from it. So since then, I have been doing daily the Osho Dynamic Meditation now for more than 5 years. Yeah, and it gives me so much, because every morning I am I can release everything from the day before. So I start fresh. And also so much falls in place, because I feel there's not only this life, but also we carry things from past life or from our ancestors. And some people, they say, oh, but dynamic, you need only for a short while. But for myself, I feel it goes deeper and deeper the longer I do it in a row. Yeah. And this influences my day also very much, because in the silent stage of the fourth stage, I really can sense my being. Because first, all throwing out of things, the cyclone was first there, and then it's so easy to feel connected to the being. And then I realize many times in the daytime that if I'm waiting for a traffic light or something, first I am a little bit impatient, and then I think, oh, but in the morning I'm standing 15 minutes without doing anything. So why not also use that space here? Yeah.
Well, look, I couldn't agree more with you, and it's exactly what happened to me. If I were to pick one thing that really helped turn my life around, that's dynamic meditation. And I totally subscribe what you said in terms of doing it every day rather than for a short period. I did it for 4 years, every single day. And that's where really things completely changed, you know. And it changes to a point where it's almost impossible to go back to the old patterns and old energy dragging you down. You break those attachments, you break those thought patterns, you break those lower vibration. It really sets you up for a completely new life because it changes the chemistry, changes the thought process, it changes the energy level, it changes you physically, mentally, emotionally. It's a just 1 hour meditation per day done for a certain amount of time that depends on the person. That's all people need, in my experience, and the same for you. I'm so glad to hear that.
Well, I'm also so glad, Swaram, that you share this experience. I feel really so great connection with you. Yeah.
It seems like we've been through a similar journey, right?
Yes, that gives me such a joy. Yes, I'm very happy to meet you in this way. Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah, and that's all very spontaneous. I didn't know much about the details of your story, of course, so that's great to hear. So, Modita, let's move on and talk a bit about the Sannyas community, which is something I really love talking about. I'd love to know, I mean, you actually said it before, but perhaps you can say a bit more, and if there is anything else that you want to add. When you feel the need of an energy boost, where do you normally go? What's your favorite Osho place?
My most favorite Osho place is the Osho International Meditation Resort in Pune. So there I love to go. And I also love already 25 years an Indian man, Paripurna, who lives there and works there. But now it's locked down there in the corona time. Otherwise, I would have planned again in the end of the year to go there. And that's a really boost for me. The most nice Osho center in Holland for me is Osho Wajid in The Hague. And before I went there sometimes for one meditation day. But now I don't go anywhere when I'm here in the Holland, because I organize myself the Osho meditations. Now in the COVID time, I don't dare to share the Osho dynamic, because it's so much breathing and that's too dangerous, I feel. And I also had to cancel the Mystic Rose of August because of that. So that was a pity, because the participants were there already. But I share now by Facebook, because I can share so much in my newsletter and through my website, which is www.enjoyingmeditation.com. So in that way, I share much from Osho And for myself, as a retreat, is my dynamic. Yeah. And also my own meditation almost every day on my balcony, silent sitting. That's enough for me, actually. So I noticed that apart from the weeks I have in Pune, I don't feel the need for any other retreat right now.
Yes, I think it's a beautiful balance that on one hand you have a place where you go to for yourself to recharge, and then on the other hand you share yourself the meditation. Yeah. So you somehow create this mini Buddha field wherever you are, and you attract people. And I think that's the best advice I can give to everyone. That's what happened to Chetan and I while we lived in London. We were sharing Osho meditations just because we wanted to attract and be together with other sannyasins and meditate with them, and we benefited the most.
Yes.
So that's a great advice.
I recognize that. Also, I really feel the Buddha field starts happening immediately. And I attract also the people who really love meditation or are open to meditation. So, and by organizing the meditations, like you say, they come, and I could never find them here in my city if I would not share the meditation. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a great advice for everyone who feels a little bit isolated. Just start organizing, and then you attract the people. So.
Yes.
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 So, in terms of the sannyas community more in general, what would you like to see in the world of Osho today?
Yeah, actually, I am very happy how it is already, because so much is growing. Because I am also in close connection with Vatayana, who organizes all the global connection activities. And so many centers everywhere in the world are growing, which makes me happy. Also now in the COVID time, I was, for example, so happy with the full moon day, which was organized globally. Right now, I think in COVID terms, that this is the situation we are in now, because before COVID, I felt everything is already running in a very beautiful way. Even people who I meet in Pune who just come for the first time, they are so much into the meditation. It looks like people who come these days are from the beginning so much focused on the meditation, is my feeling. And many of them start sharing when they come back in their country. But in the COVID time, I hope we also manage online to connect in different ways, because on that day, that the full moon day, I think in the beginning of July it was, or June, was organized, I attended only the full moon evening meditation. I was sitting on my balcony, and I really was feeling that I was sitting on the Buddha Grove with the full moon, because the field was so strong. So I think maybe COVID even helps us to make the Buddha field worldwide stronger, is my feeling.
Wow, beautiful. I love your optimistic and positive perspective, and that's what we need. So that's great to hear. Thank you. So, Madid, I know that you are working on a new project, so we are heading towards the end. The last question perhaps I have for you, if you want to talk about your latest project, I know you are writing a book, is that right?
Yes, I want to mention I have already written one book, Out of Gratefulness, How I Came Out of the Depression, and it's dedicated to Mira Hashimoto and to Osho. And the book is called Depression, A Stepping Stone Towards Bliss. It's about how to come out of depression with consciousness and without medicines. And it also has my own depression autobiography in it, and two chapters about Osho meditations and also about family constellation, different approaches. It's available at Amazon.com. And in Dutch, it is called Depressie, een opstap naar geluk. And available at bol.com. And I'm writing a second book, which is almost finished in Dutch. And later I will translate it in English. And this is about eating problems. I also had anorexia and bulimia, both eating problems. And it is called, in English, it will be called Hunger for Fulfillment. And in Dutch, Honger naar Vervulling. So, and this is my contribution to the world and for people who suffer from depression and from eating problems. But also many people who don't suffer from depression, they feel the book about depression has enriched their life much. I'm happy to hear that.
Indeed, I'm sure it can benefit many people. And even if you just stay with people with depression and eating disorders, there are a lot of people, unfortunately, struggling with those issues. And the yes. fact that you recommend essentially dynamic meditation together with the whole experience that you lived on your own skin is very valuable, and I'm sure it will help many people. So I'll make sure to link your contact details, your website, so everyone interested, they can find you there.
Oh, that's very beautiful. And if people look at my website, they can also receive my newsletter, which is 2 times a month. And there also I share what inspires me about Osho, about meditation, about family constellation. And I also want to thank you, Swaram, so much for your beautiful work in sharing Osho through the podcasts, which is such important for the world. So thank you, you and Chetna, so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It's our pleasure. We love doing it. Okay, Modita. So it's been really lovely connecting with you, discovering so many points in common we had in our journeys with Osho and in life. Thank you so much for being part of the Love Osho podcast and for your contribution. And I send you a big hug and lots of love.
Thank you so much, Swaram. I hug you too. Bye.
Bye-bye now.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it and leave a review. Visit loveosho.com for more episodes, blogs, or to connect with us.